Good afternoon. Welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. It's still NFL Sunday, where the NFL players of the Steelers hid in the locker room and did not come out during the national anthem, all except for one guy who only Bob can pronounce his name.
Villanueva is his last name.
Yeah. Good on him. And so actually I was posting earlier some boycott information. You know, the sponsors for the NFL are actually pretty broad there. But we need to get rid of them and make their lives hard. So, you know, stop using your Visa card, drinking Budweiser, don't drive a Ford. Dang it, just bought one.
Man.
I know,
that's
like
a tough one.
Shoot, we're going to have to write mean letters. Mean letters, that's how we'll do it.
Remove the nameplate from your Ford.
Yeah, there you go. We'll scratch off the Ford part. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff. And I listen to this a lot.
And I'm Bob Martin.
Hey.
Hey.
It just lights me on fire. Okay, so we ranted about that the first hour. But just in case you missed it, yes, we are, you know, don't send me hateful emails saying, how come you guys didn't say anything about it? We did. And we could go on. But we have our guest, Professor Brad Steiner, with us today. And he is the founder and grandmaster of American Combato. And I really hope you go on the website and check all of this out, because he has some amazing coursework, actually. The ultimate in all combat total self-defense training.
And that's not just for the
young,
healthy,
like that?
You know, I think anybody can.
This isn't prancing around in yoga pants.
No.
This is not that kind of self-defense. And he does. I know it's a bad visual, isn't it, Bob? Sorry. But you can order the coursework.
I've got
and
yoga
do
pants.
It at home. Yeah, yeah, Bill does not have yoga pants. Just for the, yeah, kidding. But you can do this at home, because his studio is up there in Seattle, and they also have another outlet in Prescott, Arizona. So if you're fortunate enough to live in those areas, I would definitely go take the class in person. But Brad was going to tell us about kind of the focus of your training and how people can do this at home. Before we were
well,
so rude,
day
interrupted
one,
by the news.
A student is taught things that he can use immediately to save his life. And I have students who have been with me now since the early 1980s. They're advanced black belts. But the point I was making before the news break is that no one who is not interested in doing so needs to go on to advanced training in order to be able to defend himself. That's not what this is. A lot of what is laced into my curriculum is war-proven skills that were used and taught during World War II to the OSS, to the British Special Operations Executive, to the commandos, to our Marine Raiders, and I have a very comprehensive curriculum of wartime techniques, and these are picked up very quickly, whereas men who were going into the European and Pacific theaters during the Second World War had only 12 to 20 or so hours in many cases to learn. My students have much more than that. But if somebody only wanted an encapsulated course of private lessons, and I get people from other countries or other cities who want that, I can do that. And people who study with me, whether long-term or short-term, are not introduced to anything that is taught just because it used to be taught that way 1,000 years ago, or because that's the way it's done in whatever nation of origin the system came from. All of what is taught has been proven in actual combat. And that applies to the firearms training we give, to the knife fighting, the stick fighting, the unarmed combat and self-defense. This stuff works. And it's not really for everybody, because some people are turned off by it. I had a very nice young man who was here from Latin America once. He had relocated to this country. Interestingly enough, because of the violence down there. So he enrolled with me, figured it was a good idea to learn self-defense. And during his first week of training, his comment to me was, "My God, this is very drastic." To which my response to him was, "Being attacked is very drastic, and you have to be able to deal with it." "Oh, I don't think I can do that," he said to me. And he didn't stay. He was a nice fellow. It just wasn't for him. My attitude is very simple, and I convey it to my students. Stay out of trouble. Avoid trouble to the nth degree. Go to whatever lengths you have to go to avoid trouble. Up to, but excluding, turning your back on an imminent attack or not doing anything once it's clear to you that you are in danger. At that point, anything goes for self-defense. I do not believe in compassion, mercy, forbearance, restraint, or anything when your life is on the line and you're attacked by some extra-legal predator. This used to be common sense. Apparently it's not anymore. But those people who come to me tend to share that view, or if they don't, they leave quickly. And I make no bones about it. I'm not misrepresenting anything. I don't tell them they're going to learn how to be neither victim nor victor. I tell them they're going to learn very savage ways of dealing with savage attacks. I want people to survive. And if it takes brutalizing someone who is trying to rape or murder them, so be it. I don't want anyone that I've trained to fail in an emergency to be able to defend him or herself.
So
it's very important. Self-defense is a very important skill to have. You may never need it, in which case that's wonderful. That's the greatest victory of all. But if you do need it, it's too late to learn it. And it's one of those things, it's like a fire extinguisher or a firearm. You have it. It's there for you. It's ready in case you need it. You hope you never need it. But if you need it, it's there. And you know you can rely upon it. And that's the unarmed self-defense that I teach. Nobody needs to be concerned if this stuff works. It does work. It's not magic, but it works. And anybody who applies him or herself to learning it will be able to use it.
Now, are these
short term? And I want to emphasize that because I'm well aware that actually very few people share my level of enthusiasm for martial arts, for this subject. And I don't intend to impose my level of enthusiasm on them. But I do want anyone who wants to be able to defend him or herself to come to me and to realize, yes, that's what he's learning, and to satisfy at least the degree to which he or she wants to learn. Some people are satisfied with just a basic skill level. Other people, like I say, I have students with me since the 1980s, and they enjoy this as much as I do. They train regularly, they train hard, and they're experts. But not everybody wants or needs to become an expert. Same thing with firearms. Not everybody wants and nobody needs to become a competitive shooter to be able to learn how to use a gun in combat. You don't have to become a duelist to become adept with a knife and be able to save your life. You don't have to become a stick fighting expert to learn how, within a few hours, to use a stick so you can turn somebody into a pudding. It's relatively easy. It does take effort, and it does take learning, but it's a lot of people avoid it because they feel, well, I don't want to spend all those years. I don't want to go through all that training. Well, you don't need to. You need to train as hard as is necessary to get to what you're after. And if you're after just a basic skill level and you're healthy and fit and reasonably intelligent and have the right attitude, within 4 to 6 months, if you train hard, you should have that ability.
Hey, Brad,
your
comment about the pudding
possibility for the average person to acquire self-defense ability. They need it.
Come back.
So nobody's going to help you when you're under attack. If you look at YouTube portrayals, those videos that appear on YouTube, people are entertained by other people being mugged or assaulted or fighting. They're photographing or videotaping this on their phones or whatever, and they're laughing in the background. They're making comments as though they were at a sporting event. You cannot count on anyone but yourself. And again, once you are attacked, it's too late to learn. Procrastination is a hideous vice against yourself. You put it off, you put it off, you put it off, and if you need it, it's too late. And that's a sad thing.
Okay, so the fact that I haven't ordered the program yet, that's bad. I should be doing that while we're talking. Okay, I'll do that.
Just develop a mean attitude, you know?
Yeah.
Develop a mean attitude. Don't look at violent predators.
I procrastinated. I'm
as wild
a bad
animals.
Human being.
That's what I would begin there.
Yeah.
Look at them as the animals they are. Don't think of them as people, as human beings. It's an insult to decent human beings.
Agreed.
You derive pleasure out of hurting somebody. You're not fit to live in human society. You attack somebody gratuitously. You're a wild animal. Hey, wild animals don't do that.
No, actually,
you know,
that's
you're
true.
Safer in on the plains of Africa, photographing lions and other animals, than you are in certain neighborhoods in New York City or L.A. Those animals won't attack you unless you threaten them.
Yeah, that's true. Animals don't usually attack just for fun, and these other guys do.
Now,
we have to take a really, really swift break here yet one more time.
Yeah.
I feel like the bearer of bad break news, but
No, there was an excellent book written years ago by Dr. Conrad Lorenz.
Let's hit that when we come back, Brad.
We're going
to take a real quick break, and then I want to get the folks some information on how to get your course. We'll be right back.
That I'll be ordering during the break.
Walking through forests of hungry hearts, man, scoff at the monkeys who live in that dark tent. Down by the water hole, drunk every Friday, eating their nuts, saving their raisins for Sunday. Lions and tigers who wait in the shadows, they're fast but they're lazy, and sleep in green meadows. Well, that's hunger in the jungle. Well, that's all right by me, yes. I'm a tiger when I want love, but I'm a snake if we disagree.
Nice, Bob. Always.
Good as fighting music.
As yeah, always, good fighting music. Okay, so I am at seattlecombatives.com, which is the website where you can order the online coursework, correct? Or not correct? Brad?
So, Brad, are you in there?
Uh-oh. Brad's in the cone of silence. Brad?
Brad?
Yes.
Hey, there he is.
There he is. Okay. We didn't push the right button.
I was like...
Oh, you wouldn't lose me.
For first day with our new switchboard.
It's like rut-row. Okay, so I have gone...
I was mentioning a book that was very interesting that I read quite some time ago, On Aggression by Dr. Conrad Lorenz. He points out that the greatest similarity in the animal kingdom to man is rats.
Mm.
Now... That's not very flattering.
No, that isn't. Well, in the Bible, we're sheep, also unflattering.
He also wrote a book, Man Meets Dog, which is delightful and very, very, very refreshing. Very nice to read.
So talk to us about how you get your coursework if we don't live in Seattle and can't come over and see you if we have to do this remotely.
Yeah, I have a DVD course which covers a great deal of material. It covers all of the essential basics, the combinations. It's more than anyone would need. And if a person is willing to spend 30 minutes a day, they can spend more. The more, the better. They'll do quite well in learning on their own. There's nothing complicated about effective techniques of close combat. If they were complicated, they wouldn't be practical, because you have to be able to employ these skills when your body is in the throes of the reaction that is involuntary under stress. You see, you lose the ability to generate fine motor moves or fine motor articulations. You can't do it, which is one of the reasons why so much that is taught in martial arts is impractical. You can do it as long as you're practicing with people and expecting a cooperative partner to do his part. But once you're under real stress, all of that ability goes down the drain. Additionally, your gross muscular ability shoots through the roof. And that is what needs to be taken advantage of in a crisis. And all of the techniques that I teach do exactly that. What you learn in the system that I teach is how to maximize instinctive or natural reaction. When you're attacked, certain things happen. When you realize you're in danger, the fight or flight response, for example. The fight or flight response can be trained. Obviously, I believe it's better to flee if you can do so safely than get involved in a violent encounter. But when you cannot safely flee, when you're with someone who depends upon you for protection, well, in that case, the fight or flight response, which charges you up to an inordinate degree to be ready to do whatever you need to do, needs to be channeled effectively, and students are taught to do that. There's a common misconception, and I think it's touted for commercial reasons. Study the martial arts and become fearless. Well, any school that would train you to be fearless is training you to be dead. They're training you to ignore the very thing that's going to charge you up and make you ready to save your life. You don't want to be fearless. You want to be in control of fear. The first self-hypnosis program that I did is Fear into Fury, which teaches the subconscious of the user of the program to turn that initial fear reaction into rage and to use it to save his life, which is something that it's absolutely necessary, because, as I say, when you are in a real situation, it's all well and good, for example, for an instructor to hold a rubber knife at your throat and teach you defenses that you can do against that attack. Well, what I do with students initially is train them with a real knife. Now, I don't have any casualties.
Surprise.
I do it in a very careful and correct way. But I have had law enforcement officers who have been to many police seminars, and I'll hold a knife at their throat, a real one, and they'll just freeze. They never had that done before. And before they can learn counterattacking that, which later on they will practice with a rubber knife with training partners, but in order to realize that you can do a technique, you have to understand, well, you felt this before. You're not shocked by it. So realism is a very important part of the training. I always teach people, in an attack, you're going to get hurt. And nobody likes to hear that. No, but that's not a selling point for the martial arts. You know, they don't say, come on, study this system and
you're going to get hurt. Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is that once you are prepared to be hurt, it's strange because people go into sports of all kind. They get hurt, they just keep playing, they'll take care of the wound or injury later. But in close combat, they'll buy this nonsense, they're not going to get hurt. And in a sport, it's accidental. In the street, somebody who attacks you, wake up, he wants to hurt you. And they expect, well, they can deal with this without getting hurt. The way to avoid being hurt badly is to hurt your attacker badly before he hurts you. And you have to be conditioned to do this. You have to understand the necessity of doing this. And that's exactly what I teach. The individual who is immersed in a violent situation is not in need of mysteries and secrets and all sorts of nonsense. He doesn't have to be an acrobat. He doesn't have to be a Buddhist monk. Buddhists, by the way, are very nonviolent. He doesn't have to be anything except superiorly vicious to his attacker. He has to be the meanest of the two. He has to cultivate that attitude and be willing to do the few simple things. They're not difficult, but they're difficult for some people to do. For example, one of the things that I instruct women on, let's say you had some pig puts his hands on you, and you know, it's not a boyfriend, it's not your husband, it's not somebody who's joking around with you. I'm talking about a situation where you're fearful. This is somebody you don't know or you know to be a troublemaker, and he's got you scared, and he puts his hands on you, pulls you close to him. Well, bite him. Bite his face. Now, I've had women use that successfully. There was one case where a woman who I had trained sent the guy screaming, running away from her. Now,
yeah, that
I don't
would
care
be a
about
shocker.
The attacker. My philosophy is you put your hands on someone in malice, you do it at your risk. Nobody is under any obligation to care about how badly he hurts you if you are a predator. And we have the opposite in our society today. The predators are confident. They walk around arrogantly. They pick whom they please. And the private citizen who has every right to unleash hell on these animals is walking around afraid. He's timid.
Well, the difference is they approach you. They already have a plan.
If you're attacked, there's one way out of it. True. Learn that way. Learn to use it. And don't hesitate. The techniques, as I say, are relatively simple. Anyone pretty much can learn them. If that were not the case, well, they wouldn't be practical. But they are practical. And when you learn them, and you learn them well, they become very dangerous for your attacker. They become very, very dangerous because they are calculated to inflict serious injury. They have been used successfully in war. And my contention is that a person is facing a more dangerous criminal on the street, a more dangerous threat on the street, than a soldier in combat. You go to war, you may be confronting people who, in their private lives, are decent, hardworking citizens. They may have been conscripted into their military for the same reason you have been conscripted or joined, and that is to serve their country. In peacetime, they're productive family people. They're no threat. A violent offender is serving his own twisted and warped desires. He's serving only himself. There's no necessity for what he does. He's doing it because he enjoys it, and he needs to be dealt with like the out-of-control wild animal that he is.
Well, there you have it. All right, we're going to take our swift break in honor of capitalism here. And just so that you know, you can find this coursework at seattlecombatives.com. You can get it through our website, too. And when you go there, you can choose the coursework you want to do. He's also got some super mental conditioning through self-hypnosis. Let's talk about that when we come back, because that looks super interesting to me as well.
Well, one thing, too. AmericanCombato.com has a free monthly newsletter. People are welcome to access that.
Oh, outstanding. Cool. I forgot about that. All right. We'll be right back with our guest, Brad Steiner.
that. Make it hurt so good.
Perfect. Perfect theme song for you. All right. Sorry. Before we had to take another rude break. I'm sorry. What were we talking about? We're talking about the coursework, actually. And, I know. The self-hypnosis.
Hypnosis. I'm a licensed hypnotherapist. I have been for many years. And I use hypnosis in its customary way to work on people who feel they will benefit from it for mental conditioning. People who attend my classes are probably the least needy for hypnosis because the method of teaching that I use pretty much gets the message across very, very, very thoroughly at every class. But there are people who don't study with me personally, who perhaps study another approach to self-defense, and they need mental conditioning for one or more aspects of their readiness training. And so I do have 20 different programs that are available. They're described on the websites. And I have many interesting people who study with me. You know, one of them comes to mind. I think he would be a marvelous guest on your show. His name is David Smith. He is a retired school teacher. He now works in the precious metals field, and he's a columnist. He is very much in touch with what's going on in our culture and what people need to do to prepare to deal with it. I think he would be a marvelous guest on your show. I'm sure your listeners would be interested in him.
That's fun.
But I have many interesting people who study with me, none of whom are violent. None of whom are violent. And they need conditioning. So the self-hypnosis is just an extension of the kind of conditioning that my students receive in the standard training that they do with me personally. The self-hypnosis programs are particularly valuable for people who don't train personally with me because they do cover pretty extensively those areas of mental conditioning that are needed for effectiveness in close combat and self-defense. Some people have certain things they need to overcome. Most people have certain philosophies that they need to have instilled. And hypnosis is really, it's just a, Sigmund Freud said that dreams are the royal road to the unconscious. Well, the same thing can be said for hypnosis. It's the royal road to the unconscious. By using it properly, you reach a person's subconscious mind, and you can achieve in a very, very short time what sometimes takes years to achieve otherwise, and in other instances is not achievable at all because there's too much resistance against it. If a person wants to acquire certain ideas or beliefs, or if they want to divest themselves of certain ideas or beliefs, I don't know of any more powerful a tool than hypnosis. It's nothing mysterious. Now, this is one thing that I like to emphasize to people because the impression is given by some that it is, and it's not. It's very simple. It's very, very easily understood. And since people need to relax in order for hypnosis to be effective, I like them to understand that going in. I had a very wonderful student years ago. He was the chief of psychiatry at a local hospital here. Marvelous doctor. Very, very accomplished psychiatrist, known throughout the world. He did the teaching in the psychiatry department, and he told me he couldn't hypnotize people. Well, you see, the reason why, they were intimidated by him. When they walked into the office, they were on edge. Well, to be hypnotized, you got to relax. And, of course, with self-hypnosis, there's nobody there to intimidate you. you just put the CD in your computer and sit back and let the program take over. But it's not magic. There's nothing complicated about physical self-defense, mental conditioning for it. These are disciplines that require work, hard training. But that's not anything mysterious. So if you wanted to become a good tennis player, you don't have to sit on a mountaintop and contemplate your navel. You just have to practice tennis, and you have to want to be able to play tennis. Well, this is not a game. This is a very serious thing. But people who want to do it, want to learn it, will be able to do it. People who want to change their attitudes from ineffective to effective, who want to become conditioned so that they don't freeze in an emergency, they can learn to do it.
Tell me this. I'm looking.
It's nothing that requires any kind of mystical training or protracted years of study. It's not an overnight thing, but it's not anything like what some people have been led to believe it is by some misleading commercialism.
Hey, Brad, I'm looking at the list and of your the hypnotherapy, and there are 20 different topics, right? And,
right.
And a lot of them are kind of, you know, connected. Become attack.
Oh, absolutely.
Become attack minded. Developing your develop ruthless. Yeah, sure. Easy for me to say.
Yeah.
Ruthlessness for self-defense. I can't even say it. Developing real courage. But I'm looking at, like, number 19, eliminating hesitation and becoming decisive. Oh, my God. I need to get, like, 10 of those and give them out. Is this some? Are these topics things that can be done out of order, or are they supposed to be done, like, 1 through 20, or are they just numbered for...
There's no
order.
They were numbered...
just so we could order them correctly.
Just to give them a number. Some people feel that they would have a problem, or perhaps they had been in a situation where they did have a problem with hesitation.
Yeah.
Well, for example, this could be very critical. You know, a deadly attack very often begins with what is apparently a really silly or easily handled act of, it's hard to call it aggression. For example, somebody blocks your path with a big smile. Let's say it's a woman walking down the street, or a girl walking down the street, and this bozo blocks her path. He's smiling. He doesn't even put a hand on her. He says, "Hey, baby, what's your name? Don't walk away. I'll never see you again. What's your name?" Now, if she says to him, "Please, leave me alone," and she walks away and he doesn't impede her, fine. But that can be very terrifying to some young women. And if she says, "Look, leave me alone," and he says, "Hey, I'm not going to leave you alone, just a minute, you ain't going anywhere," and he blocks her path, if she hesitates to break his leg or rip his eyes out of his head, she's crazy. Because if this is a rape, it's easier to stop at the outset than it is after she's been punched a few times in the head and dragged into an alley or a car. And I don't want someone to freeze. I don't want that to happen to a woman, to a man, to anybody. You're walking to your vehicle in a parking garage, and these two guys are leaning against your car. Let's say you're in a hurry to leave, and you say, "Fellas, please, I've got to get to my car." And I wouldn't say anything like, "Get off my car." I'd be very polite about it. "Excuse me, fellas, but I have to get to my car." If they leave, "Hey, sorry, man," and they walk away, okay, fine, no problem. But if they say, "Well, we're comfortable, why should we move?" Well, depending upon how much in need you are to get into your car and leave, I would either leave and call the police and let them show up if they didn't make any physical overtures toward me, or I would tell them, "Look, this is an emergency, I have to get into my car." And if they block my way, well, then they're going to be physically dealt with. I have no time to waste. if it's an emergency, if someone's health is at stake, they got to go, not the innocent people. And in order to make that quick decision, in any situation, somebody grabs your wrist and says, hey, wait a minute, where are you going? That's an attack.
Yeah, that's right. That's over the
that's
line.
That's an attack. Nobody's got a right to stop you from going somewhere and physically grab your wrist. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, oh, my God, see, I can't kick him. I can't go after his eyes. It will progress. And that wrist grab is going to become a hard pull and maybe a smack or a punch, or maybe he'll produce a knife with his other hand. My way of thinking and what I teach my students is when you sense that you are in danger, you act, and you act fast, and you do not let someone benefit from your lack of mental readiness to deal with them.
Yep, because if you think you're in danger, likely you are. We'll be right back. We are here with Professor Bradley Steiner. I do hope that you will take the time and either pop on our website or jump on one of his. He has several, and we have them all listed for you. SeattleCombatives.com actually has all the coursework we've been talking about with the self-defense and the self-hypnosis. So be worth very yep. much worth checking
Lots
out.
Lots of topics there.
Especially with everything that's going on in whatever town you live in. Be right back.
Like a small boat on the ocean, sending big waves into motion, like how a single word can make a heart open. I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion. And all those things I did.
Squirrely guy who claims that he just don't believe in fighting. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. And when they're running down our country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. They're walking on the fighting side of me, running down a way of life our fighting men have fought and died to keep. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song that I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down our country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me.
And there you have it.
Should have played that song right after the national anthem at that football game.
I know. Give him a whooping. Okay, so let's see. Before we run out of time, Brad, I wanted to promote your monthly newsletter. It's aptly named The Sword and the Pen. So you do your monthly newsletter focuses typically on just things that are going on in general, or give people kind of a little overview, maybe. Brad? Hello?
Brad.
We lost him.
Did he push all the right buttons over there?
He's still there.
He's still there?
The line's still open.
Hello.
Right here.
Oh, hey, there you are.
There you go. talk to us, Brad, about
did,
your...
Did you fall asleep?
About your newsletter.
Your newsletter. What,
he's doing hypnotherapy.
What can folks expect from that?
There's a newsletter every month on AmericanCombato.com. That's one word. It's called Sword and Pen. It's well, it's fairly lengthy, and it goes over techniques, philosophy, anything that I consider really newsworthy for
September was about bullying.
Seattle Combatives does not have a newsletter, but there are new articles posted every month, and there are well over 400 articles on that site that are free. People can read them whenever they wish. There's no charge for any of this. And I have book reviews on Seattle Combatives. I review books on martial arts that are relevant to our purpose, which is practical self-defense. We don't go into the sport or competition. I also, from time to time, address the importance of physical training, weight training, related things like that. I discuss mental conditioning. There's an article on Seattle Combatives regarding guidelines for the use of deadly force for those who are licensed to carry handguns. Really a collection of many, the various websites. PrescottCombatives.com is the website posted by my top black belt, Mark Bryans, who is an outstanding teacher. He conducts classes in combat shooting. He is a absolutely fantastic teacher of unarmed combat and the use of handheld weapons. For people who live in the Southwest, he would be the guy to contact. And there's recordings of shows that we've done on Prescott Combatives. There's a lot of good material. All of it's free. I mean, I do have to make a living. You don't go into this field if you want to be rich, but I do try to make ends meet. And, you know, I do sell DVDs. I sell the CD courses. I sell publications that are on CDs, mental conditioning for combat and this sort of thing. But there's also a great deal of material that's free of charge, and I hope people benefit and enjoy it. I that's my purpose in posting it. I hope that people who perhaps will never have access to what I teach and to what Mark Bryans teaches will at least be able to learn a good deal of what I know is very important and valuable and increase the effectiveness of what they do.
Well, I think it's a great thing that you're able to put your CD courses together for folks that aren't in your immediate area or aren't in the Prescott area. At least they'll have access.
I have students from England and the United Kingdom. I got one order from somebody living in Russia.
Nice.
I wonder if that ever got through when I sent it. I get people who just can't take any short-term courses from me by visiting Seattle, and they can't train here in the regular program, and they learn a lot. They learn a lot from the DVDs. The DVDs are intended. Everything is illustrated and described slowly and carefully, and it's done so that anybody who has never really done anything before in martial arts can learn, and learn without a teacher, and learn very clearly. As I say before, there's nothing complicated about what I teach. Nothing at all. Nothing complicated. In fact, if techniques are complicated, if you find yourself in a school that's teaching you acrobatics, it may be a very good school. And you may have a very good teacher. But for self-defense and close combat, like I also have students who are in the military, you can't do acrobatic fancy moves. You can't certainly do them after you pass your 40s and 50s, and you become a more attractive target as you get older.
I'm just thinking about Bill trying to get in the car.
Senior citizens are great targets. Well, they need to learn, and the techniques that work for someone in his 20s will work just as well for someone in his 80s, as long as he takes the time to learn it and develops the right mindset.
Yeah, the whole mental conditioning, I think, is really huge. Well, Brad, we've had a great time talking to you. Thanks for coming back on with us.
And always a wonderful pleasure to be on with you. I love your format. I love your philosophy. We're almost like in sync 100%.
We'll keep you up on our site.
Yeah, we can kind of goof off, talk a little politics. It was nice of the NFL to offer us some wonderful fodder today.
Yeah.
Idiots. Yeah. Jeez, another great reason to go do something besides watch stupid football.
Light. Yeah, isn't that the case? Well, I hope some folks check out your site and check out your CD programs.
I've linked the newsletter that I put the newsletter link, I should say, on our site. Everything's on there, and you'll be getting a letter from us with a request for the first DVD because we need to do this. I watched Bill try to get in the car today, and I got to tell you, he's not going to take anybody down with his limber agility moves.
No, it's not what you call a giant car.
He can always put on yoga pants.
He can always put on the yoga pants. That's right. There's always the yoga pants defense.
Well, I certainly hope to be on your show again. It's always a great pleasure.
Absolutely. Thanks tons. You've been
listening to
We the People. We've been on with Professor Brad Steiner. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
You're on KCNR, Shasta Redding.